Welcome to the Faith Rest Show. For the next 15 minutes, we will learn how God has a plan for our lives to live a life of faith and rest. Impilo, yoku kolwa, noku pumula. I am your host, Tom Molinar, bringing to you the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 5, 11 through 12, "But let all who take refuge in you, O Lord, be glad. Let them sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." This message is the second message of a short series called God's Protection. The purpose of this short series is to help us understand events that are happening around us and to see how the Bible provides solutions for every adversity in life. We started by looking at the tragic events of a war that is happening right now. The Goliath nation of Russia is attacking the smaller nation of Ukraine. There are many Christian believers in Ukraine who have had to escape and flee into other nearby countries. There are also believers who have remained in Ukraine who are continuing to study the Word of God and minister to others who need help and praying continuously, knowing that God can take any and all events and circumstances in life and turn them around for the benefit of the believer who loves God and is trusting God for protection and deliverance. This is a promise from God that we read in Romans 8:28. It says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Notice a couple of things in this verse. Firstly, the believer must love God. And in order to love God, we must know Him. We know God by learning everything about Him from His Word, the Bible. And this is what we are doing now. Secondly, we must be called according to His purpose. This simply means that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's purpose is stated by Peter in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "God does not want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance." And repentance simply means to change your mind. In the matter of salvation, it means to change your mind about the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him as your Savior. God's protection comes to us through His promises. In our previous lesson, we started to look at King David and how God protected him during the most difficult times of his life, when his own son was out to kill him and take over as the new king of Israel. We are studying this in Psalm chapter 3. As another biblical application to our subject of God's protection, I want to ask you if any of you can think of another person in the Bible who went through major difficulties, unfairness, and hatred from others, and yet God worked all things together for good for this person. Who would you name? Well, unfortunately, I cannot hear what you say, but the person that I'm thinking of is Joseph, as we can read in Genesis chapters 34 through 50. Joseph's life is another historical example of how God works circumstances and all things together for good. Because Joseph loved God, and he believed in the coming Messiah, who was God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come into this world, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world, even the sins of Joseph's brothers. We read in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, quote, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. This is yet another clear example of how God can turn the evil circumstances that man tries to bring upon others, and how God can turn those circumstances around to benefit his own people. We learn a principle from all of this, that all things, whatever we experience in life, may not be good. In fact, terrible things do happen to all of us from time to time, but we learn that God can take those events and turn them around for our own good. We can learn and benefit from difficulties that we might be going through. Although the benefits and blessings may not be clear to us at the time, but we must always keep our eyes open to see how God works events and circumstances in our lives. Now back to King David, as we previously read in Psalm chapter 3. The circumstances are different to Joseph's life, but the outcome is the same. The protection of God is real. We see that David is on the run. His son Absalom has an army, and they want to kill David so that Absalom can become king. And David needs protection from the violence of war and from fear. In Psalm 3, verse 2, David tells us what his enemies are saying about him. They are telling lies and mocking God in their disrespect and rebellion against not only David, but against God himself. We read, quote, "Many are saying of my soul," this is of David's soul, "they're saying there is no deliverance for him," for King David, "in God," Selah. And Selah is a Hebrew word that means to pause and to think about what was said. So we should then pause and think about what David has just said. David is telling us that his enemies are spreading lies about him. They're saying that God has forsaken him, that God will not deliver him. They're saying, look at everything that David has done. He has failed in so many ways. Surely, they say, God is not going to stand by David. They mock God by saying that God has forsaken David. But that is exactly where they are wrong. David knows God. He knows God's promises. He remembers all that he read about God in the Torah, which was written by Moses. He remembers what the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 5. The Lord said, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor I will never forsake you." And David remembers what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. He said, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield, and I am your very great reward." Hence, we read in Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, David says, "You, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head." David knows that God has not forsaken him. He has total and absolute confidence that God will not only protect him, but will also deliver him from his enemies. David's life is not over until God says it is finished. David may not know the details of how God is going to deliver him, but he knows that God will deliver him. David realizes that he has a destiny, a mission to fulfill in God's plan. You see, God gave David a promise. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, the Lord said to David, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." God is speaking of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom would endure forever. David knew that the promised Messiah was to come from his own body through a son that God would provide for David. And David knew that the rightful son was not Amnon, as Amnon was dead. He knew that the line was not going through Absalom, who would soon be dead. The line of Jesus Christ would come through Solomon and his brother Nathan. Once again, let's make a few practical application points from what we have learned. The first point, one, is the believer's protection does not come from man, money, government, politics, or armies. People will fail you. Money will disappear, but God's word endures forever. Second point, the believer's protection comes from God and God alone. David said in Psalm 3:3, "You, O Lord, and you alone are a shield around me." You know, God's protection became very real, very quickly to the believers in Ukraine. The bank ATMs were frozen. The people had no access to money. There were no police on the streets. And there were bombs and rockets bringing destruction to the people and to the cities. And yet God continued to provide protection to his people in Ukraine. The third point is that God's promises are the glue that holds the believer together in times of adversity. We may not be able to remember anything else but simple promises, like, for example, Joshua 1:5 or Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Or Psalm 3:3, "You are a shield around me, O God." Or Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer you." The fourth point that we could learn is that we must be able to claim a promise and then believe that God will honor that promise. Romans 4, verse 21 says, "All that God promises to do, he has the power to do them." And point number five, God will not be mocked. We read this in Galatians chapter 7, verse 2. People who tell lies about God, as the enemies of David were doing, God's justice will deal with them as God sees fit. You know, David has a confidence in God's promises of protection and deliverance. With this confidence, he prayed, and he knew that God would answer his prayers. David remembered that it was the Lord who delivered him when a lion and a bear attacked his sheep. He killed both of them, but he knew that it was God who protected him. When David fought the Philistine giant Goliath, he said, "All of you will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you Philistines into our hands." In God's promises, David found rest and peace. As we read in Psalm chapter 3, verse 5, "In the midst of war, and his own son seeking to kill him with an army of over 20,000 soldiers, David found peace and rest. He said, I lie down and sleep and wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands of people drawn up against me on every side. This is a biblical principle we have come to know as the faith rest life. It is a life of peace and rest that we can enter into. When we have the faith to believe the promises that God gives us, that God demonstrated his love to us, and that while we were still sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross as a substitute for us, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. We will stop here at this time, and next time we will continue with understanding the faith rest life. Thank you for listening. Until next time, I hope that you might have learned some truth from this short Bible message. If you would like more of these messages, you may contact me anytime by email at info@molinar.co.za. When I am awesome wonder, consider all.